بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Last week we started the discussion with regards to the great Imam, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Today's discussion, continuing with his life, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, some important aspects and rather qualities that we found in the life of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. As we said that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh was known for the trial that he was put through, the mihna in Arabic, which they call the trial with regards to the Qur'an Kareem. The Qur'an Kareem, because of which he was imprisoned, put into imprisonment for 28 months. And in this 28 months, he used to be lashed. He lost weight, he never had strength. As you mentioned last week also, that he had a habit of performing 300 rakats of nafal, extra salah, optional, every day. But after coming out from prison, he had to reduce that to 150 because of loss of strength and ability to read those 300. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, someone asked him that what is zuhud? Zuhud means to abstain from this world. Means that this world shouldn't be in the heart. Meaning a person possesses it, but it's not in the heart. It's in the hand, it's not in the heart. So he asked him, what is zuhud? This asceticism that people speak about. So he says zuhud means that what Allah blesses you, you don't get happy. And when Allah decreases, you don't get sad. Because you understand it's a distribution from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Muhammad bin Musa rahmatul Ali, he says that he brought 3 bags of silver coins to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, and each one of them contained 1,000 silver coins. That is approximately 30,000 rand in today's time. So he bought 3 bags and he said, O Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, these are 3 of the 100 bags I inherited from halal, pure, tayyib sources. You don't doubt? He says, I don't doubt it. So he brought 3 bags. He says, I've got 100 bags. I only want you to keep 3. From the 3, you distribute as you like. So he says, if you want me to keep a relationship with you, take all 3 out of this house. I don't even need 1. The moment you increase the money, my needs are going to increase. I don't need that to increase in my life. Once a person inherited a great sum of money, one of his friends, and he wanted to give him 10,000. One is 1,000, which is 30,000 rand, and 10,000, which will be approximately 300,000 rand. So 10,000 dirhams he brought, his friend, to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. He ordered his son, don't open my house door to this man until he's out of my mind. Meaning I forget about this incident, then allow him back into my house. Now, this was the level of zuhud he had. He's going to try. Ours is the opposite. He hasn't brought for very long. Don't allow him back inside until he doesn't bring that gift. As some people say, one person is here in the majlis. We'll mention it since when we see him, he reminds us. He says, you know, nowadays when we're learning the alphabets, the Arabic, we see a, b, t, th, isn't it? A, B, T, Th. He says in the old days what they learnt? Alif, B, T, F. He says some people only learnt Lam, Se, Le. Just to take. Not Dal, Se, De. Which means to give. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he lived despite people coming with such treasures to him. One of his friends, he says, I take a qasam an Allah, that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh is the living sign of Allah on earth. He says, what's your dalil for it? He says, Allah threw the dunya at his feet, he turned his back to it. The dunya came to him, he never asked. It came to his feet, thousands of rands were coming, millions rather, and he rejected it. To the extent, the level of poverty he lived in, that on one of his journeys to seek knowledge, on the train, his funds were exhausted. He tells the person, do me a favor, keep my shoes as a deposit. When we reach the destination, I will get some money to pay you. So he needed to buy some food or something he needed to buy. Despite this poverty, his generosity was of such a level. One day a person comes, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, oh, what do I tell you? There's hardship and difficulty and tears in my house. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal gives him 4 loaves of bread. He says, oh Imam, this is too much. He says, I have given you half of my possession. I only own 8 loaves and I have given you 4. Take the 4 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once his scissors fell into a well. So one person went down and brought it up for Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali. He took out 1 silver coin and he gave him. This person fell shy. He says, ya Imam, oh Imam, your scissor is not even worth 1 dirham and yet you're giving me to help you that? He says, I gave it for the sake of Allah. You help me for Allah's sake, sir. So I gave you for the sake of Allah. There's no payment and ajr here. It's not payment. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, especially in those days where we had the khilafat system, and especially if the Khalifa was a zalim, you know, if he was an oppressor, if he was a tyrant who used to usurp, who used to snatch the wealth of people, collect extra, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali was very cautious of not eating any food of the governors of the time, of the Amir and the Khalifa of the time. He wouldn't eat anything. Any gifts, he will never take it. He'll never accept it. Once the Khalifa of the time, he sent a messenger with some money to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, something to the tune of approximately 100,000 dirhams. If 1,000 was 30,000 rand, you can do the maths. Large sum of money. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali tells this messenger, do me a favor, please save my honor and dignity and take this money back. He says, you want to save your honor and dignity? Forget about that, save your blood and accept the money. He says, what you mean? He says, if you don't take this, this Khalifa is coming to kill you. You are trying to say that his wealth is impure. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, in a catch-22 situation, what does he do? So he accepts the money. He wakes up in the middle of the night. He wakes his son Salih up. He says, oh Salih, I want you to enlist all the poor people in the area and whoever comes to mind. And whoever could come to mind, they made a list. And he couldn't sleep. So his wife is asking him, what's happening? So he says, I can't sleep. He says, what you mean you can't sleep? He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the wealth came to Madina Munawwara, he was restless. Until every bit of the gold was spent, Nabi Sam went into his house to sleep. 3 nights, according to some narration, two nights rather. On the third night, Nabi Sam went home. 3 nights he was in a masjid, 2 nights. He never go home. He says, what will I answer Allah if this money is still in my possession and I pass away? So he said, every cent must be given. They made parcels, 50 dirhams per bag. 50 dirhams per bag, and they dished out and distributed and gave to every person. Until the last bag was given, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali says, right now I can relax and I can sleep. Only when all of that was ready to be distributed. One day his son, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, it's one more incident before we get to his son, the Khalifa wanted to test him. So he called him to the army, he summoned him. You know, like, nowadays a little bit different. Those days where, if they called any person, you had to present yourself for training for the army, for the Muslim army. Whenever we required your services, your name came out in the register, you have to go. There was no time for tashkil. Everyone's name was on the register. And if the Khalifa calls you, you have to go. Business closed, shop closed, you have to go. Someone has to take over. So he told Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, I want you to present yourself for training. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali went, the governor was there. So the governor used to prepare the food. For 16 days, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul Ali, he was fasting. 16 days. Every third day, he will eat something. And the Khalifa is watching him, or the governor of the time is watching him. And he will only eat approximately 100 grams of wheat. He used to see and cry to Allah, "Ya Allah, out of necessity I'm eating it. There's nothing else, out of necessity. And 100 grams only." Today you go out to one of the restaurants and it's a 500 gram portion. Your 100 gram for 3 nights. He used to just fast. You see, how do I face Allah by eating these people's food? It's hypocrisy. It's nifaq on my side. If I believe something and I'm doing opposite to that. His son Abdul Rahman, he was very cautious, muhtaat, lot of ihtiyat. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. His son Abdul Rahman one day was sick and he was craving, he had a craving, a desire to have some ghee, some melted butter. In those days they used to use it with khajur and have some sweet meat. So he was feeling for some ghee, melted butter. So one person, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, gives the person one coin, one dirham. He says, "Buy for me melted butter, ghee and come." So he goes and he brings it. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh sees that he's serving the ghee on a leaf. So he asks this person, "Where did you buy the butter from?" He says, "From a certain shop." He says, "Where you got the leaf from?" He says, "I was passing a grocer and I took a leaf." He said, "Did you take?" "I saw the leaf on the floor and I picked it up. I cleaned it and I brought it." He said, "Did you take permission from the grocer for you to pick up that leaf?" His shop wasn't closed. He hasn't cleaned up as yet. He says, "I never take permission." He says, "You have the ghee, don't give my son and return the leaf." Return the leaf. That was the level of being cautious. Anything in doubt, we leave it out. This was the practice, this was the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That when a person is in doubt, you have to leave it out. Unfortunately, nowadays the table is a little bit different. Where a group of friends go together and they're eating on a restaurant on the table. And everyone orders something and the food comes. And someone looks at his friend and he says, "Hey, I'm not too much, if I stand for correction. I remember Maulana saying you can't eat that. Why you ordered it?" He said, "Do me a favor. Siria Kassam, last time I'm eating it, you can ask Maulana the fatwa later on. It's ordered now. What we can't waste it. Israf, that I can't waste my money." Yet a person, he's also got that, you know, he thinks to himself that possible it may just be haram. Or it may be doubtful for us. We can't eat it. You say, "No, not now, later on. Don't find out the masala now. Let's do what we need to do. Later on you can find out what we're supposed to do." Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, although him being such a great personality, according to some narrations, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh knew 1 million ahadith of by heart. Never mind if you say exaggeration, put it to a half, 500,000. Today a person, he's got 23 grandchildren. Asking by the seventh one, "What's the name?" Hey, now you're tickling my brains. You know what's the age of the 10th one? Person got only 23 and yet he has to do some thinking. Yeah, he knew 1 million ahadith off by heart. This was that memory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the fuqaha, the muhaddithin of the past. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, to humble himself, you know, to humble Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he humbled himself. How? People used to flock around him, throng around him, used to always be around him. Hazrat, Hazrat, Sheikh, Sheikh, dua, this, that, fatwa, question. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, his son says, from time to time, he would wear clothes of a worker, person who cleans a garden, and he'll knock on the door of people. He says, "Can I clean your garden?" He'll cut the grass, he'll chop the trees, he'll take his salary and he'll go back home. He says, "This is to teach me that who I really am, I'm worth nothing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." This was to humble himself. He used to do some things like this. That once a person came, He told, oh Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, if only you know the people that are making dua for you. If only you knew the people that are making dua for you. You know how many? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah ali immediately teared and he cried. He says, oh Allah, you make me better than what they think of me. And oh Allah, you hide the faults that they don't know about me. But you know, Sbadir rahmatullah ali used to always say that. He says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your thoughts true about me and grant you better than that. May He make your thoughts about me a reality. And may He grant you better. So this was to humble himself. That I'm really no one. Someone asked him when he used to stay in Baghdad. He traveled to another city, to Basra. He was there for many days. And people came to know after a few days, this is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the scholar who knows million ahadith of by heart. So one person came, he says, oh Imam, what's your name? He says, my name, Ahmad bin Hanbal. He says, which tribe do you come from? You know, nowadays people want to always, which gram you'll come from? Which area of India? Well, what's your surname? What's his, serious, that family. So they asked him, which gram you come from? He says, me, I'm from the poorest of the Arab tribes. He says, what you mean, poorest of Arabs? He says, I'm nothing. He says, you Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, listen. You from a very noble lineage? He says, no, I'm from the poorest of the Arabs. Who am I? I am nothing. I am no one. I don't know what you came here for. If you really want knowledge, go to other scholars of Baghdad and Basra. I am just someone that knows little, but I can try and help you. I'm really no person. So this was that humility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with. And must remember the moment you humble yourself, مَنْ تَوَضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ The person who throws himself down, Allah elevates him. And the person who raises himself, Allah throws him down. If you throw yourself up, Allah says, throw him down. You throw yourself down, Allah raises the person. So this is a very important quality. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, very patient, all the time sabr, all the time being patient, persevering. Difficulties came his way and he was patient. If it was good, he made shukr to Allah. Adverse qualities, he was patient. As that one incident last week, as we were reading, I was reading one of the kitabs. So the incident came that one person, one lady, was very pious. Husband was equally pious. So this lady tried everything in the book. She wanted to have a vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in her dream. Salah, she increased. Sadaqah, she doubled. You name the ibadat that was within her abilities and she did it. After some time, she comes to the husband. She says, I'm trying everything. I want to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm so old. I'm in my 60s. So the husband says, oh, you want to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You've not seen him. What have you done thus far? Hey, Durood Sharif, this. Remember, we don't do ibadat to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do ibadat for Allah, for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are bonuses if you get. Doesn't mean that you accepted by Allah if you have it or not. So anyway, the husband thinks about it, looks into the life of his wife. He tells his wife, do me one favor. I want you to dress up like a newly wed bride. She goes and she buys the best of dresses, beautifies herself, and she sits in that house. So the husband says, 1 minute, I'm coming just now. So the husband goes to the wife's brother and says, what's wrong with your sister? She's an old dohi man, 60 years old. She's dressing up like a young, newlywed bride. And see to her. Brother came in the house, he scolded, he took off, left, right and center, you know, he really gave it to his sister and whatever he could tell her, he told her. You know, he really belittled her and he was laughing and he made her tear and cry. In her tears and her crying, she slept away. And in that sleep, suddenly she wakes up and she holds her husband. So the husband says, what happened? He says, I dreamt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, you know, I dreamt, but what was the recipe? How come I dreamt? He says, that was the recipe. He says, I'm not understanding you. I'm really not understanding. So the husband says, I looked into your life And I saw it was a life of shukr. And I saw one thing you weren't doing is making sabr. The moment that difficulty came onto you and you made sabr, Nabi Sam came to your help. Allah is with a broken heart. Allah is with a broken heart. It doesn't mean now you must trouble your wife and say, Allah is with you. Muftis Abdullah, I want Allah to be with you, so let me trouble you a little bit. No. But Allah is with a broken heart. When we are broken at times, remember Allah is with us. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, he had a vision of Allah. We're talking about the vision of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had the vision of Allah. In this vision, he communicates with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imagine what a clean soul he had to be. And he asked Allah, he had a conversation. He says, Ya Allah, is the reward in reciting the Quran? Allah says, definitely. With meaning, without meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whether it's with meaning or without meaning, there's reward. This is the dream he has. A pious, accepted soul. Definitely the message is correct. This is the ahadith, this is the ayat of Quran also. Whether we understand the Quran or not, which is the propaganda of some of the people nowadays, that if you don't understand, what are you reading? If you don't understand it, what are you reading? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qara'a harf. Not the person who understands, the person who recites. Understanding is a separate etiquette of Quran. A separate haqq of the Quran and a right of Quran. So to recite, the mere recitation of Quran itself is virtuous. A person will get reward from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, some of his du'as he used to make is one, he used to make du'a and say, Oh Allah, as you have preserved my face from sajda, you have preserved my face from making sajda to anyone besides you, Oh Allah, preserve my face from asking from anyone besides you. Allah, you protect my face. I don't want any disgrace to come to myself. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, this was one of his hallmarks, cornerstone, a strong point in his life, was the dua that he used to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because imagine he's reading 300 rakats nafal. How much of dua is in there? How much of dua is in that salah? So a lot of dua was in the life of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, he was born in the year 164 as we discussed last week, and he passed away in the year 241 after Hijri. So he lived for an age of approximately 77 years. 77 years, he had a nice good innings. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, towards the latter part of his life, was very weak and frail. Absolutely weak. And it was on the first of Rabiul Awwal. Now this, his attachment with Sunnah. His attachment with Sunnah was such that his student used to say that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi is a living miracle of the Sunnah. He himself is the Sunnah. He's an embodiment of Sunnah. And he fought for the adherence to the Sunnah, for the upliftment of the Sunnah against the innovators and people who brought about any bid'ah into life. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal stood his grounds. He was beaten for Quran, for his aqidah, for his belief. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, because of the beating he received for the Quran Kareem, the hiding he got from the governors, on the first, we see he had a very close relationship with Sunnah. Now look at his life that he passes away. 241 after Hijrah. It was in Rabi'ul Awwal, Sunnat month. What happened? Absolutely feverish. And eventually he passes away. The day he passes away is a Friday in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Such an honored day, such a great month. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi passed away. And he used to address his enemies and the people of innovation of the day. And he used to tell them, the sign of my victory is my funeral. People never understood. He said, between me and you is funerals and janazas. People never understood. The day he fell very, very sick and ill, all roads leading to the city were closed off. No one could enter the house until and unless you had special permit and permission. There were already 100,000 people plus waiting in the streets only to have a vision, to just to see, just to cast a glance on Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. When he passed away, then forget about the seats, the streets of the city, they had to barricade the outskirts leading to the city and usher the people in small groups into the city. For his janazah, they couldn't perform it in the city. They couldn't perform it in the streets. They had to take his janazah to the outskirts, to the desert. So one person says, my estimation, I haven't seen the such large crowds of people coming for any janazah. I think it's approximately 600,000. Another person who was present, his son says, listen, I think so it was approximately 800,000. Whatever the case be, half all of these figures, even if you say 200,000 people were there, where we heard of such a janazah, 200,000 people coming. That wasn't even the population of the city of Baghdad in that time. People came from far and wide to attend the janazah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. He passed away on a Friday morning. His janazah was performed after the Asr Salah. And just before he passed away, that last incident we forgot to mention, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, just before he passed away, his son was around him. So he's saying, la, 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 no, no, no. So his son says, ya Abi, oh my father, well, what's this no, no, no? This is the time to recite the kalima. Recite la ilaha illallah, recite Allah, Allah. What are you saying, no, no? So he comes back to his conscious and he addresses his son. He realizes, he says, oh my son, you know what I was saying no for? He says, no, I'm not understanding, what's this no for? He says, la, I was saying no because shaitan came to me. And shaitan said, oh Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, now you are saved from me. I told him, not as yet, not as yet. Until I haven't met my Allah and seen my results, I'm not yet safe. Then he said, oh Imam Ahmad, your knowledge saved you. He says, la, la, not my knowledge, not my knowledge. So the plot of shaitan, the scheme of shaitan, the trick of shaitan comes in various ways. Remember, shaitan can't come to any one of us in this masjid and say, see ya, make shirk with Allah, make kufr with Allah. We'll automatically send him off. We will not listen. We will not succumb to his call or to his desire. We will not give in. So he will come in various ways. Remember, the way he will come to an ordinary person is different compared to how he will come to a pious person. He comes with different ways. That man who is a simpleton, he comes with a different idea. He says, see here, don't become too pious, then your shop won't get too rich also. You see, you need to dress up well. You need to dress up, you know, you're going for certain meetings, be careful how you dress up. Don't worry about the sunnah too much. That, you know, later on, when you get old. And he comes to the scholars and the pious people different. And you see, you saw how many people? You saw what they said? You heard? You know all your knowledge? You know that kitab you wrote? You heard about the feedback? You saw it sold out? It's not on the market? He comes to people in different ways. And he'll do different things to different people to break them. That person who is not pious, he doesn't want to get him any on the line of piety. And the person who is pious, he wants to break it. How? Just by throwing water of riya, of show, that you must bring it unto yourself why you did it. So people can say, oh, what a bayan. So people can say, you read so well. So people can say, you're so brave. So people can say, you're such a scholar, you know so much, you're intelligent. So he comes to different people in different ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the evil, from the kaid, from the shurur and from the fitna of shaitan, from every fitna of the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his whatever qualities that we have learned, whatever knowledge we have learned from the life of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. And especially one lesson if you can take from this entire life of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh was his devotion to Qur'an-i-Kareem. the hiding and the beating he collected for Qur'an al-Kareem, that we make a firm resolution. Generally, Qur'an al-Kareem is something we will listen about in the month of Ramadan, the importance of it before Ramadan, maybe a little bit after Ramadan for istiqamat. But this is one thing we need to bring into ourselves. Ta'alluq and relationship with Qur'an al-Kareem. And after that, with the ahadith of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability. Inshallah, very important that tomorrow will be a very important program. Let each one of us be here. It is something vital, important for every one of us. You know, sometimes the old mentality and thinking is a seer, we all must eat from one pot, this barakat. Don't separate, don't do this, don't do that, etc. Now the ulama has seen the harms, the ills of it. Because of which Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Patel, Damat Barakatum, will be hosting a program in this masjid after the Isha Salah tomorrow, inshaAllah, with regards to inheritance, the wrongs, the evils, what is going wrong in society, why are there so many families splitting up? I mean, this program was not made up for no reason. It has to be something that spurred it on, that brought it on. There has to be some problems in society. I mean, we know what's happening in society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to participate in that program tomorrow. Akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah.